This is a London Undone podcast. My name is Catherine Cartwright. These podcasts give you an audible insight into some curious places around London. This series focuses on the historic and at times peculiar City of London churches, their histories, features, associations, and their spiritual lives. Today we visit the Dutch Church. Finding this church is a small task. It can only be reached by walking through narrow lanes and covered alleyways. It hides in the shadow of the NatWest Tower, not far from Liverpool Street. From 1998, it's been a Grade 2 listed building, built in the 20th century to the designs of Arthur Bailey. After winding through said alleys, there it is, standing in a bit of a clearing, a concrete building clad in Portland stone, attached to office buildings on two sides, with a popular food cart outside. What we're going to enter is a church which, despite the newness of the actual building, is the oldest foundation of any foreign and indeed any Protestant denomination in England. Inside this T-shaped church, we hear from Judy Guy Briscoe, a church watcher, some of the church congregants, and the Dutch priest Bertjen, who will pronounce his own surname later on, and whose lovely singing voice we've just heard in the background.
So we're in the Dutch church in Austin Friars, and it is probably the only church in the city built last century, built after the war, post-war. But we are on actually a very holy site. And it's called the Dutch Church in Austin Friars. And in 1253, Humphrey de Bohun came back from the Crusades, clearly having done lots of awful things, and thought he ought to atone in some way. So he set up a priory for Augustine friars. It was enlarged by the 13th century, known as the Westminster Abbey of the city. Obviously, along comes Henry VIII, and the church was dissolved in the Reformation, and the monuments were sold off, but the little friary remained. Parts of the church, though, were used as a granary and cold store, but also it had a rather famous person on the land, and Thomas Cromwell had property in Austin Friars, and he was not above pushing out his boundary at the dead of night and having sheep or pigs jumping over it so that no one really could say where his boundary was. And there's a documentation about this. Someone took him to court, yeah. And someone objected, but I think he'd been so used to doing it that he didn't get...
Yeah.
And of course he was Thomas Cromwell. So Edward VI was granted the charter for the church. Obviously Edward VI was Henry VIII's son. Because at that point, there was a growing sort of swell of Protestantism, yeah, in Europe.
Right, and the charter was saying what?
The charter was saying that they could set up a Protestant church on this land and they could worship in the way they wanted the worship.
Right, I see.
In 1550, it became locally known as the Dutch Church. Londoners didn't differentiate between one Northern European and another. But he granted them a charter and they could set their church up. And then he died and Mary I came on to the throne. Now, Mary I obviously was a Catholic, and so the Dutch Church, they were given about a month to leave, but they took their charter with them and they sailed back to Europe. So after Mary died, Queen Elizabeth came to the throne. She actually invited the refugees to return to London, and they returned 2 years later to Austin Friars. They came back with their charter, and the Dutch congregation have worshipped in the area ever since. So in 1866 the church burnt down and was rebuilt the next year.
Yeah. So what happened during the war to it?
Well, on 1940, 15th of October, the church was destroyed by
totally
the Blitz.
Destroyed.
Totally.
Yeah.
And the congregation moved to St Mary's in Bowden Street, Mayfair, at that point. And then it was rebuilt. Princess Irene laid the foundation stone in 1950. And so exactly 400 years after Edward VI had granted the original charter. And she had been born during the war and baptised in Buckingham Palace. But her baptism had been entered into the records of the Dutch Church. But the memorial window at the back there shows Princess Irene and Edward VI, because they were both young people who were connected with the church.
Oh, how lovely. So in the bottom section.
Yes, in the bottom section
large,
of that.
Beautiful window.
Of the window at the back.
So he's there on the left, and I guess she's there in more modern dress.
Yes,
on the right.
She's there looking like a little 50s girl with, you know, white ankle socks and a little hat on.
Thinking about it being a Dutch church.
It still is used as a Dutch church, and there's worship on Sunday in Dutch.
I'm Bert-Jan van der Lagemaat, a real Dutch name, and I'm minister of this church, the Dutch church.
How do you find London?
Yeah, it's an exciting city. There's always so much going on. And before I was minister in a small village in the north of the Netherlands, Friesland, and it had 5,000 inhabitants or something, and now it's completely different.
Tell me about your congregation.
Yeah, well, it's a bit a strange congregation because it's a very big city, and there are around 60,000 Dutch people living in and around London. But a lot of them have to travel an hour, 1.5 hour to come here. Yeah. I have a lot of people in my congregation who come here once in a while, once a month or 3 times a year.
Yeah. Are there other Dutch churches in London? Do you know?
No, they're not. No.
This is it?
No, this is a very old one. So it was the church for all Protestant strangers from Europe who came here, and 85% of them were Dutch.
Yeah.
So it became the Dutch church, and the services have always been in the Dutch language. So this is the only place where you can have a service in the Dutch language in London. The community is very important. People come from afar and they want to meet each other, speak Dutch and feel at home.
My name is Annette Slokker van der Heijden, and I think around 8 or 9 years ago I chatted to somebody in the Netherlands, and they told us about the Dutch church in London. And I come here kind of monthly because we live quite far away. So we try to be here once a month with the children.
What do you like about this church and the atmosphere here?
What I really like about it is it's quite, in a way, quite a free church. I think as a human being, we're here to support each other. And I really enjoy seeing some Dutch people.
Yeah.
We tried a few churches near where we live, and I couldn't really find what I was looking for. And here I felt quite happy.
Of course, it's a little piece of home.
Oh, for me, it feels like coming home. I mean, I know the people that are here a lot, and it's nice to see them. I like it that the building is quite modern. And then we have a beautiful hall downstairs. The really old things around us as well. We have very old books in the library. There are a few beautiful paintings.
So there's a library.
Yes, behind you.
The layout of the church is like a Protestant church, so with a pulpit in centre back. And then just a communion table in the front.
That's very interesting you point that out, actually. Because, so often in lots of the city churches, you'll see the
red dots. With the commandments, the Lord's Prayer and the Creed on the back. But this is just very plain.
It's literally the pulpit in the back in the middle.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I think that's rather beautiful.
Oh, it's fabulous.
The altar is just a plain wooden table.
Yeah, and it gives the priority to the word rather than the trappings.
Yeah.
Under the communion table is the original altar stone, so under glass, if you can see.
Yeah, that's incredible.
It's just fantastic, isn't it?
I wouldn't have noticed that if you didn't point that out.
What do you like about the space?
Yeah, it's very airy. And it is not a very old building because it was rebuilt after the Second World War. But you can sense and taste the history and the tradition in this building. And also the stained glass windows, they tell stories about the Dutch past here in London and the Dutch connections. So we have a stained glass window about Queen Wilhelmina.
Yeah.
She was the Queen of the Netherlands during the Second World War, and she fled to London.
Yeah.
And the Dutch government was based here during the war, and she visited this church. So we still have her Bible. And after the war, the people of the Dutch resistance, they gave us this stained glass window as a gift.
And is she in there? I can see a lady.
Yeah. So she died on the 31st of December, and that is together with the feast of Saint Anne.
Right.
So she is pictured as Saint Anne near the temple. And she sees Joseph and Mary and a little boy child, and she welcomes them.
Isn't that lovely? It looks like she died in 1962, I'm guessing.
Yeah, that's true. You can see the white cliffs of Dover, so the Dutch people who came to England during the war.
Yeah, the first thing they saw.
Yeah.
Isn't that a lovely
And there is London at fire during the Blitz.
Yes.
Yeah. The big window tells the story about this church with King Edward VI, who granted us this church by royal charter. So I'm still a royal chaplain to the Queen because of that.
Right.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
That is exciting. Yeah.
To the British Queen.
To Queen Elizabeth. Yeah.
I noticed on your robes you had a
the
crown,
royal emblem. Yeah.
And it says, did it say six?
Yeah, because it's Edward the Sixth. So he made the Dutch minister a royal chaplain to himself, to King Edward the Sixth, and all his successors.
Yeah.
So I'm still a royal chaplain.
Yeah. How lovely. Yeah. Yes, that's beautiful, that window.
Yeah.
The stained glass windows are incredible. Max Nauter created the Great West Window, showing the history of the church. And within it are depicted shields from the English towns who permitted the Dutch communities to worship, including Ipswich, Plymouth, and Canvey Island. William Wilson created the windows on the staircase going down to the crypt, showing William of Orange, who came over from Holland to England to rule with his English wife, Mary II. The Carpenters' Company, whose livery hall is based nearby, created a special window on the North Aisle, and they were also responsible for taking apart the clunky pews and recycling them into the beautifully crafted and more practical seats that the congregants now sit on.
So, Lulu, Martin, David.
So, are you Dutch?
I'm half.
You're half Dutch. How long have you been coming to the church?
I've been coming since, probably I was about 5 years old, four or five. So it's a very long time, Catherine.
Well, I wasn't going to ask the next question.
But I think it's just such a beautiful space. And I just love the church, actually. You look and you see that beautiful floor. You may not have noticed it. And in photos, it looks black and white. But actually, it's like a sort of greeny colour and white marble, and it looks absolutely wonderful. My sister was married here, and the pictures came out just beautifully with this floor. And one of the other things why this is special, in fact both my parents are in the crypt here, so that's nice. So we come and take flowers and, you know, have a moment, and it's just really nice. And in fact you can see, it sounds weird, but so I remember a lot of the domines, a lot of the ministers, and a couple of them are in here as well. And I think, oh yes, I remember him. You know, so it's It's a real coming together, I think, of English and Dutch.
I should ask your name. Is it Rosalind?
Yes, so it's Rosalind Jansen. So my husband was Dutch, so I used to come here over the whole period that I was married to him, which was 22 years. And then he died, so he's in the crypt.
Right. Your husband's Dutch, but you're not, but you've decided to keep on coming here and
yes.
be a big part of the church. What is it about the church that you like?
It is the spirit of it and the people that I know here.
How long, therefore, have you been coming to the church?
So it would be nearly 30 years, actually. It was quite a long time.
What changes yes. have you noticed?
Well, I suppose the congregation may have got smaller because there were quite a lot of elderly people when I started coming here who'd married English people during the Second World War, and obviously that generation is passing. So the congregations potentially have got smaller, but I've got every faith that the church itself and the community will continue. I mean, after all, we've been going since 1550 with all the historical troubles in that long period, so I don't see
yes,
why that
right.
should
it's the vibe
alter.
Greater
it, yes, greater, you know, the Great Fire of London in the Second World War when it was completely bombed and destroyed and it rose again. So I'm totally optimistic.
Good. Yes. And in the church itself are some beautiful things to look at.
Yes.
And you pointed out the incredible tapestry.
Yeah.
This must be one of the treasures of the church.
It is. I mean, it's quite recent. It dates from the early 1960s.
Tell me what it shows.
So it's the Tree of Life. It's the Garden of Eden. And then in the middle, as the guidebook says, very unpolitically correct, man's achievement with the wheel of fire, so making fire.
Yeah.
And then you've got the ladder, which is Jacob's ladder.
Yeah.
And then on the right-hand side, you have the New Jerusalem.
Yeah.
So it's from Eden to, you know, eternity. But I encouraged the church council to have it cleaned because obviously it had got very dirty, and it was a big project because it had to go to Belgium to be cleaned in the royal tapestries at Mechelen. And the Friends of the City Churches very kindly gave us a grant, which covered most of the conservation, and we raised a bit of money ourselves because these, you know, things are not cheap. I think it was about £10,000 all told.
But it's so important to keep maintaining.
Yeah,
it is.
And even in new churches, you're going to have a problem because over here we've got cracking as the result of the Bishopsgate bomb, which resulted in movement to the building. So we're having to monitor that cracking. So, you know, nothing is immune, even if it's a new building. And the organ has to be, you know, tuned, refurbished, and it's all done in the Netherlands. So I've actually seen all the pipes laid down on the floor here prior to it going back for cleaning in Holland.
What a job!
It's a Dutch organ, and Dutch organs can only be cleaned in the Netherlands.
Well, it's a very different.
Yes.
It's a very different sound, isn't it?
It is. Yes.
Playtime here.
No,
it's beautiful to look at as well.
Yes, it is.
In fact, first of all, what struck me coming in was the tapestry.
Yes.
The second thing when I turned around was the beautiful organ.
Despite the feeling of coming into a large, empty space, there's so much going on inside. There's the long vertical tapestry, which is made by Hans van Noorden, the organ by Willem van Leeuwen of Liederstorp in 1954, the many stained glass windows, the beautifully carpentered seats, the elegant pulpit, the spacious crypt, the ancient-looking library, the pictures showing the transformation of the church, and the laying of the foundation stone. a copy of the original charter. With its history in mind, Burchian wants you to know one of the most special parts of the church, a quotation from the religious reformer, Hugh Latimer.
Well, downstairs you can still see a sentence by Hugh Latimer, and he said some very nice words about the Dutch Protestant who came here, and he tells the people how valuable they are for the London community, and in times of Brexit, yeah. we still like those sentences because we are a refugee church from the start, and we are also a strangers church, so that makes sense now in these times.